I think for a lot of us, we don't often take the time to think much further than the symptoms yes. of what's going on
yes.
in our lives, right? And so we think that the problem is that we're eating poorly, or we think that the problem is we're not exercising, or we think that the problem is that we're lazy or we're disorganized or whatever. But it's usually the result of something else that's going on.
How does a real coaching session work? What goes into it? What results stem from it? We may hear about health and wellness coaching available through our employer or EAP, see people across various social media platforms claiming to be life coaches or wellness coaches, and of course, we see athletic coaches taking front and center on a regular basis. But what's the difference between someone who might call themselves a coach and an experienced, nationally board-certified health and wellness coach? And what's it like to be coached by someone who actually knows what they're doing? We get that question all the time. And while we can spend hours explaining it, the single best way to understand it is to experience it in person. The second best way is to listen in on a real live unscripted coaching session. And that's exactly what you'll tap into in this episode, as Brian Allen, a nationally board certified health and wellness coach for Catalyst Coaching 360, will be coaching Susie Lewis as she generously allows us a very real, raw, uncensored look into her life and some of the things she's working through right now. There was no script. This is the real deal. As you'll hear, every coaching session is unique, and the dance between the coach and the client involves reflection, restatement, silence, intrigue, left turns, and some pretty interesting self-discovery. Whether or not Susie's specific journey mirrors your own or is on a completely different path, there is so much for us to glean as we have the opportunity to be a fly on the wall to this magical session. Oh, and by the way, once they wrap up the coaching session, we'll transition into an incredibly insightful debrief with the two of them as they discuss some of the things happening behind the scenes while the coaching was taking place. Welcome to the latest episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brad Cooper of Catalyst Coaching 360, and I cannot thank Brian and Susie enough for their willingness to participate in this valuable episode. Whether you're an individual curious about how coaching works, already a coach looking to fine-tune your skills, or someone considering pursuing a career as a health and wellness coach, I'm certain you'll find this episode incredibly engaging and beneficial. If you are one of those considering pursuing your NBHWC-approved health and wellness coach certification, the next Catalyst Coaching Institute cohort kicks off soon. It's all virtual, so no travel involved, but they have been filling up early. It is a very big decision, so please, if you'd like to talk it through, reach out to Susanna anytime, 720-339-4292, or email results at catalystcoaching360.com. And if you're an employer or EAP looking to integrate coaching like this into your program or platform, we're happy to discuss at your convenience. Same email, results at catalystcoaching360.com. And now, it's time to listen in on a real, live, unscripted coaching session with an experienced, nationally board-certified health and wellness coach on the latest episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast.
Did you have anything in mind in particular that you wanted to kick around today?
You know, it's funny. I feel like there are so many different aspects. I think I'm generally just very sensitive to my wellness, to the different realms, like with exercise and diet and sleep. I feel like my moods help keep me on track with that in some ways, because if I'm off track with it, then it doesn't go that well. So I feel like with the basic aspects of eating and fitness and my weight, those are kind of like the big three that usually are circling around. And I feel like I'm in a good place with those things right now. The place where I'm struggling, there's really a couple places, and I'm not sure what would be the best to talk about today, but one of them is sleep, which is a new one for me because I've never really experienced challenges with my sleep too much, other than when I was pregnant and I had a big bowling ball on my stomach. That was challenging. Or when I had a newborn baby, that was challenging. But as far as my own body and mind allowing me to have a good night's sleep, that's never been a problem for me. And then the other piece, and I think it might even be kind of tied to it, is productivity. Just getting things done, picking the right things to get done, and just being a good steward of my time. So those are really kind of the things that are on my mind right now.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, encouraging to hear that, you know, things are feeling good with what you're eating and the way you're moving and how you're feeling about just, you know, your body in general and life on the kind of the physical aspect of things. One of the things you're starting to see some opportunities is, you know, whatever sleep patterns you're experiencing, which is a new kind of a thing for you. And then you're wondering if it's related, but, you know, you're noticing some kind of change in your productivity, the ability to prioritize throughout the day. It sounds like these are a couple of things that have been, you know, kind of in the background a little bit or starting to come to the foreground.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like there's some new things in my life that have presented just some, you know, adding in these different layers of activity in other ways. And so just trying to balance, I've been doing it for a few months and I'm feeling like right now I'm just like a ping pong ball, like bouncing between tasks. And although I'm getting the bare minimum done, I feel like I could be maximizing that quite a bit more.
Gotcha. So you've picked up some new responsibilities recently.
Well, I got married about 7 months ago, which is amazing. Cool. So yeah, thank you. So that is great. Some of the changes are we bought a new house and we moved, and it seems like, you know, just kind of setting up the, like the balance of responsibilities a little bit. There's some things in there. I feel drawn a lot more to be ending my day at a reasonable time. Cause we didn't live together before we got married. So just being able to have dinner together, and I like to cook a lot. So I am generally, and my husband works, he works pretty long days. So like he'll cook on the weekends, but he generally doesn't cook during the week. So I generally am getting back into the habit. My kids are older now. So I feel like we went through this period of time where dinner at 6 was not necessarily a thing because everybody was running here, there, and everywhere. And being a single mom, it just wasn't that big of a priority to me. And now it really is. I want to make sure that we're sitting down and connecting and having dinner most nights. We don't every night, but that's important to me. And then also the other new thing is, or just fairly new. So my mom lives about a half a mile away from us. We moved into the neighborhood that I grew up in. And so it's really nice. She's 97 and my dad passed away about a year and a half ago. So I just have taken on a lot more responsibility with her. We'll either have her up for dinner. We'll go over there for dinner. We'll go out for dinner. I feel like she's almost like a little bit of my, like, I don't want to say my kid, but she is a main responsibility of mine. And I really take it seriously. Like, I don't like her being alone a lot. And so I really try and kind of take her under my wing too for dinner. So it could be that I'm a little, and my sister thinks I do too much. She thinks that I'm a little unrealistic with that she doesn't need to be having plans every night for dinner. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's part of it. And then also just financial responsibilities. There's just more tasks to do with my extended families, just kind of like their estate and that kind of stuff. And it seems to be for like almost every week, it'll take several hours a week. It seems like to just make sure that things are in order. We've got a rental, we're just like stuff going on. So I feel like I threw all that into the mix and I didn't really plan my time accordingly. And now I'm feeling a crunch on that. And so that's kind of where I was talking about with the productivity.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, you've had significant, I mean, these are significant changes, Susie, right? In the last 7, 8, 10 months.
Right.
You know, married, moved homes, moved in with your husband, which is a whole nother dynamic, right? You were with, it was you and the kids in the previous house, it sounds like. Are all three of your kids still with you at home?
I have, just my middle daughter is. She's in school, in massage school. So she's with us. She lives with us. And then my other two, one of them is graduated from college in Gunnison. And then the other one is in at school at CSU. So they're around sometimes, but not every day.
Yeah. But I mean, the point being, you know, you're in the house, you and your daughter, you've got a routine going, you know, this is whatever, a year ago. Where it's not really a big deal for you to be doing dinner at 6 o'clock. Your responsibilities mainly are for you. And then, you know, your daughter's in the house, but she sounds like she's pretty much an adult. She's probably taking care of most of
her own day-to-day
activity. So it's basically you, right, for the most part. And you get into a routine, you understand your process, you have a level of productivity. And then, okay, get married. Beautiful thing, super exciting, looking forward to life together, looking forward to learning each other, looking forward to experiencing the joy of this new life together, moving to a new house. But now you've also got mom to engage with in a new way. It sounds like you see it as a privilege and a joy. This does not seem like a burden at all, but it's still something that you're investing in that you weren't doing as much of earlier. So now you've got a new man in the house. You've got a new mom, not a new mom, but you've got mom nearby. It sounds like some things kind of shifting around in terms of, some financial things for extended family. So you've kind of added a few things to the plate. You've got a new desire to be at home at a certain time. So you're not going to be working maybe as late or, you know, throwing on the computer, you know, after 6 o'clock, like you would have thought nothing of earlier. And everything's just a big kind of like conglomerate of like, hey, this is what I used to do. And what I used to do isn't fitting. You know, it's like this one of these things is not like the other, you know, the round pig in the square hole or the square pig in the round hole or whatever. It's like what used to work isn't really working anymore. And so you're starting to feel the effects of that. And it sounds like today is kind of the beginning of the conversation of, okay, you know, I can't do what I was doing. And so what needs to be changed given my new desires, my new situation, my new responsibilities? It's pretty exciting stuff.
It is. Yeah. And I think shifting is a really good word that you use there. That's a pretty accurate description. So I think there's definitely some different priorities that have bubbled up. And I think one of the things that bothers me a little bit about this is I'm finding myself saying no to a lot of things that I used to maybe not bat an eye at or just have more time with, because what I was doing is I would end up just at the end of the day finishing up whatever it is that I didn't get done. And I didn't have the super early wake up. And so I was able to kind of catch up on it that way. I don't like saying no. And I feel like I'm saying no to my sister more. I'm saying no to things, but it's in an effort to just find this new path, like this, you know, the way that I want to be living and fitting in all the things that I want to fit in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I think it just shows, Susie, a little bit about your heart and your desire to care for people, you know. You know, it's like, hey, I used to take care of my sister in this way and connect with my sister in this way, but now I have to do less, you know, I'm choosing to do less and less of that. And there's a part of you that doesn't like it. There's another part of you that's saying, like, I think that this is important and this is necessary, you know, because I'm sure as you know well, you know, when every time we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else.
Exactly. That's the part. And I think I've just gotten so clear, more clear on what, you know, what I want and what we're doing and all the things. And even with my, you know, with my business, like more clear on goals, all that kind of stuff. So it's all good stuff, but it is hard to say no more often. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone sort of expects that a little bit when you have some life changes too. So
yeah. So I'm curious, like, so when you're saying no to your sister, when you're saying no to some of these other things that you were able to participate in and chose to participate in before, like, what are you saying yes to now?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So I think now I'm saying yes to more of a, I'm going to say, like, permanent goal structure. So what I'm thinking of in particular right now is I used to do quite a bit of travel, like with my sister-in-law, for instance. So we would go, you know, she's retired, so she would want to go on a dive trip. And I'd be like, oh, that sounds cool. Sure. I can, you know, the kids will be with their dad, or, you know, something would work out. And so we had these experiences, and it was really great for the time being because I didn't have a significant other in my life at the time. I had that freedom with kids at that point too. And now it's like my husband and I, we bought a vacation rental in Puerto Rico. So we are going there. You know, that's where we like to go on our vacations. We've been fixing it up and all this kind of stuff. Of course, we like to do other things for vacations too. But I feel like my family is a little bit like, what happened to you, Susie? You know, you're not available to go do all these things with us. But for it's really not, like, for my own life, it feels a lot more concrete, and it feels like building towards something that's actually a lasting importance. Not that memories, and I think memories are of lasting importance, but my life has just changed to where my priorities are more of building my husband and my family's relationship and trying to get us all together with everybody's different schedules than it is on just the fly-by night. Hey, that sounds like a good girls' weekend. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're saying yes to time and evenings with your husband, mm-hmm. and yes to loving your mom down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was another thing that has come in, because she was she's very independent. Like, she lives in her own house, but she definitely, yeah. When I go away for a week or something, it's a stressor on her. So yeah, I guess I am actually saying yes. You've really helped me to reframe that. The things that I am saying yes to. And I think that's helpful, because I was kind of focused more on, oh, I feel bad, I'm not going to this, or I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And now, I mean, now that you've kind of pointed out that you're saying yes to, you know, spending time and cultivating your relationship with your husband, spending time and cultivating care for your mom, mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Are you okay with that? Like, being able to say no to some of these other things in order to say yes to those things? Cause it seems like, you know, you were talking about a shift. There may be a shift in priorities, and it sounds like it's something that lines up with what you value. Not that you don't value time with your sister, but this marriage relationship and this mama relationship, they seem to be, at least in this season of your life, an important growing value. So, you know, I mean, I guess a good question would just be, you know, are you feeling, or how are you feeling about that? Like, saying yes to dad, or saying yes to mom and husband, and knowing that that's going to be saying no to some other things. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I think this was actually really, really helpful, Brian. I'll tell you, I mean, lining up, I think that feels very much in alignment with my values and what I want to do and what we're building and all the things. So that is absolutely, and I think just realizing that simple thing of saying yes to something means you're going to be saying no to something else. It doesn't mean no forever. It just means no, not right now. Like, in this season, this time period, this is what I'm doing. And I just need to feel confident and okay with that.
Okay. Good. So it sounds like, you know, we're kind of moving, kind of being able to leave some of that, you know, a little bit of guilty feeling of saying no to things or not feeling good about that. You're kind of, it sounds like you may be able to leave that behind. And when we started talking, you were kind of feeling like, hey, I'd like to talk a little bit about how I'm prioritizing things, how I'm structuring my day. It sounds like you're maybe getting some traction on that even now too, while we're talking. So we do have some time left together, though. So, I mean, you talked a little bit about sleep, you talked a little bit about prioritization. Do you want to talk a little bit about how this kind of, you know, why of what you want in terms of time with your husband, time with your mom, you know, kind of now that that quote unquote big rock is on the table, is it worth us spending some time kind of talking about how you might, how your day might look a little differently now, given your responsibilities, or how would you like to use the remainder of our time together?
Yeah, I think kind of, especially being at the new year like it is, just talking about productivity. I don't know if there's a better word for that, but just kind of the general flow to my day so that I'm not feeling like I'm just running like a ping pong ball, kind of going between tasks. And there's a lot of different things that I've used. So I've used, like, to cut out distractions. I have those techniques to use. I don't feel like that's so much of an issue. I'm not sure though. I'd be willing to dive into that. But I think it's more about just the different roles. And it's like, okay, this has to get done today. This has to get done today. I feel like I've got a sticky note of things rather than like a mindful planning of, okay, I'm going to do, this is what I do every day. And then I hit the computer and then I do this. And it just seems like every day is a little bit chaotic right now.
Now, is that a normal routine for you to have kind of a schedule and a set routine?
Somewhat. I think I always have a mindfulness, or generally, unless I have a really, really early morning or something, but I generally have like a period of just quiet time, I would say, in the mornings for up to an hour if possible. But I generally, after that, will just start hitting tasks. And it seems like it's become less about priorities and more about like the checklist. So yeah, I think that's where I need to get in touch with what, you know, how do I want to prioritize these tasks? Because literally you could get bombarded with tasks all the time, and then you're not doing anything that's important to you. If you know what I mean.
Okay. So are you just so I'm following you, it sounds like the main thing here is you're doing stuff, you're working, you're taking action. It's in the form of a list of tasks, but the tasks feel disconnected from something. Like they just feel disconnected from something that you want them to be connected to in some way.
They feel not so meaningful. I think that's like what it is.
Yeah. Like when you're talking about like a ping pong ball, you know, that tells me that, you know, it does not feel like you're living in solidarity with the things that you're doing, right? You're just kind of being tossed around, you know, bonged back and forth. And so if there's lacking meaning, but it sounds like a task list actually does work for you historically. It's just that now that the values and the priorities are shifting, it sounds like maybe there needs to be a way to connect those tasks with the values. So how might you do that, Susie? Like if you were going to have, you know, a list of things to do, how might you, well, I should just ask you first, like, would that be of benefit to start connecting the dots between your task list and the things that you're kind of labeling as important now, such as time with my husband, time with my mom?
Yeah, I think that the place where I'm getting these extra tasks right now, I think one of them is, a couple of them are temporary, just projects that need to get done, that I think shifting my mindset to this is something that I have to do and that I'm not like getting paid for, that doesn't seem like it's a productive thing to me. It doesn't seem like an productive thing to me. It's basically, I need to shift that to this is important because it's honoring to my family and it's honoring to my roles in my family, because it has to do with like setting up a rental, and there's just endless stuff. And like with a trust, I don't know if you've ever dealt with that kind of stuff, but just, it just seems like an endless amount of hoops, legal hoops to jump through. I think we're nearing the, you know, to where this is going to level off, because we've just about got it done. So that one's kind of coming to an end. And the other one is a networking group that I'm in. And I'm just realizing from talking to you that I think that some of the tasks with this group are a little overwhelming and very time consuming. And I think I need to box it into, I need to have some boundaries on it, because right now things are getting put on my, like meetings are getting put on my calendar that do not align with what I actually need to be spending my time on.
Okay.
So I think really it comes down to that. And then I think when I topped it off with these other, you know, extraneous things that are important, and they will, you know, they will come to an end, or they'll level off. But it's really this ongoing group that it's taken up a lot of my time.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, we've got a few minutes here left, and I'm wondering if, you know, with the networking group, because it sounds like there's two categories of things that are kind of sucking the life out of you.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Like, you know, they're not giving you energy. They're not, you know, they're sucking your energy. And it's kind of the trust stuff, the, you know, kind of getting the, you know, those things in order is challenging. It's hard because it's complicated and it's involved and there's family involved and all that kind of, there's emotional engagement and all that kind of stuff. And so that's one piece, but that's just got to happen, right? It sounds like
we're working through it. I think we're getting there on that. And yeah. I feel like I've set down, I mean, it's at the beginning of the process, that would have been a good topic, but now we've got it handled. It's stuff that I need to get done, but
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then with the networking group, you know, given kind of what we've traversed today, kind of what you're seeing, what's the next step for you with the networking group?
I think that I need to get back to, well, first of all, I got put into a leadership role with it, which is fine. I think everybody needs to take a turn at some of these other roles when you're in an organization. So I don't necessarily have a huge problem with that, but I think I'm going to maybe just hold off on replying so quickly to emails with it, and maybe let the other people's opinions come in first, and then sort of respond, you know, later in the day. It's not the most important priority of my personal day. And so I think that is one way of just kind of looking at it that I've just kind of gotten clarity just talking to you. The other thing is I need to get back to where I just had a day where I would set up the meeting, like one-on-one meetings with people in the group, and just keep it to a day and not like let it seep into other random days where I'll look at my calendar and be like, oh yeah, I can fit that in. But then later on, I'm going, why did I do that? Because it breaks my concentration for other things that come up. So I think tightening that up a little bit and just making it be, for instance, only on Thursdays is what worked for me before. Because that's when we actually meet. So I think it makes sense to keep it to Thursdays and just not try and accommodate every request.
Okay, cool. So the experiment here is let some folks take up the responsibility at the network group, and your action is not by not responding to emails immediately, right? So that's kind of your action there. Letting some other folks share the load. And then the second piece is limiting one-on-ones to one day a week. And you want to test out Thursdays again, see if that works. It worked before, but you know, you got a new schedule, new house, new hubby, new mom, you know, new location of mama. And so Thursday would be a good place to start, it sounds like. So if you get this done, Susie, kind of moving forward and you start experimenting with this and you accomplish it, like how do you see that contributing to your goals here of your time with your husband and your time with your mom?
I think it's just really going to protect that. And it feels like more in alignment with my values and what my goals are and things like that. So it feels more in balance.
Cool. Well, anything else? Anything else we should be aware of today before we get off the phone, Susie?
You know, I think I feel like I've got the tools to really put these things in action. So I'm a scheduler. I think just making that shift in my mind is probably the most helpful thing. I don't know that I need like an accountability tool or anything like that, because it's kind of a done deal now. That's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you know what you want, and it sounds like, you know, you feel confident that you can do the things to get there. And I mean, is there anybody that can support you in this?
My husband will be supportive of it. I mean, we talk about these things anyway, so I think I'll probably share with him kind of what we talked about. And he never wants me to feel, he always feels like I can sometimes take on a little too much with, you know, like I have to have dinner, and it's not like I feel like I have to, but I enjoy that. And so, I don't want to make him feel burdened. In other words, I don't want him to feel like he's burdened me, but I will definitely share this.
Yeah, it sounds to me like he's going to know that you want to be at dinner with him, right? And it sounds like kind of these next steps are going to help contribute to that reality of like, hey, I'm moving in the direction of having a, whatever it ends up being, you know, 9-to-4 day, 8-to-3 day, 9-to-5 day, whatever it is. And you're home for dinner at 6 and you're out with mom in the evening or at some point midday or whatever. And you'll start to kind of get in that rhythm and have those blocks of time for the things that are now on your plate that weren't even a year ago. So cool. Super encouraged, Susie. Thank you so much for letting me join you for the ride and the journey here. It was really fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian.
Excellent job, both of you. Really appreciate it. And gang, I'll mention this during the intro and concluding words, but just a huge appreciation of these two. If you think about a coaching session in general, there's a lot going on, and now we hit record and they know all of you are going to be listening to it. And that adds to both of them. That adds a lot. So excellent job, Brian. Susie, thank you for opening your life to us. That was super real. Really appreciate you peeling that back. I'd love to get kind of a debrief from each of you now of what didn't we see? What didn't we hear as you were going through this? So maybe starting with Brian, can you peel back a little bit for us? What was going on in your brain as she was going through these different things of things that maybe you were thinking about or you were pondering a variety of directions or, I don't know, possibilities that you saw as you went through this, or she said something that you're like, whoa, that's a different direction. What was going on there for you?
Yeah, I think at first, you know, in terms of behind the scenes, I mean, just engaging with the experience of, like you said, you know, being on a podcast, right, and doing this with the potential of others listening, it's like working through that reality, and not even just for me, but I was thinking about Susie, like,
right,
you know, I was like thinking like, okay, hopefully we can do things that are, you know, honest and meaningful, but not private, you know, like that's
right.
You know,
tough kind of line.
I hope for
very
for
good
the, for the conversation for her. And I wanted to be, I was just thinking about how to be mindful of that without, you know, without affecting or hijacking the effectiveness of the coaching process. And so that was one piece, which was a new experience.
Sure.
Me, because the only other times that I'm, you know, being listened to or recorded is for, you know, whatever, if we're doing, you know, practice sessions or whatever. Right. So that was one dynamic. But in terms of the coaching itself and listening to Susie, you know, my main thing was pay as close attention to her as I can. Listen closely, be with her. I actually did spend quite a bit of time closing my eyes and listening so that I wasn't distracted with other things. And that kind of helped me stay focused on her and her process. So that was something that I noticed. And then as she went through, you know, she kind of started out saying, hey, I'm feeling good about my physical activity, the way I'm eating, the way I'm moving. I got a little things going on with sleep. I got a little bit of things about prioritization. And so then it's like, and she said, I don't know which one. So then it's like, okay, how are we going to determine which one? Now you can just go ahead and ask, okay, well, where do you want to start? But when somebody starts out saying, I don't know, it's worth kind of exploring and finding out, you know, like, so you come out with a reflection like, okay, it sounds like this is what's going on. And then I'd have to go back and listen to it. But I think at that point, I don't think I asked a question. I just did the reflection and then just let her roll with it. So I might've said something like, sounds like, I'll just summarize it, sleep and, prioritizing have been a bit of a challenge. Pause. And then I think she took it from there. Right. And so that gives us as a coach an opportunity to know what's really on their mind without necessarily having to ask.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I remember. I'm just going to take a quick look at my notes here and see, there was another moment that I thought was helpful. When she said that, some new things, this is what was interesting. So she said some new things have been kind of moving around. And at first it was kind of vague and ambiguous. And so I was like, well, I think we're going to have to figure out a little bit more there if she's willing to share it. Right. And so then I may have just, I can't remember if I did a reflection or a question, but basically it was like, hey, you said some things have been changing. I think I did ask, like, so what's changed in the last, whatever, a few months that have kind of caused this adjustment? And then I was like, well, I got married and we bought a new house and we moved and my mom's a half a mile away and I'm taking care of her. And I don't know why I'm feeling a little stressed. It's just kind of like all of a sudden I'm just having a hard time prioritizing. It's like, oh, really?
Totally. Yeah.
I wonder why, And so then that's when things start to open up in the conversation. Now I've got all this to work with. And then the opportunity then is to say, okay, let's find out where the thrust really is on the inner part, of Susie, and find out what's really on her heart and where she wants to move with it in terms of the kind of the client directed or the client centered aspect of this is we're talking about, these three main things of autonomy and confidence and support. Where's that autonomy piece, right? Like, where's the piece that says like, this is really what I want. This is really where I want to go. And I don't even necessarily know what that is yet. And so we want to, do the best we can out of curiosity, out of love, like, okay, what is it that's important to you right now? And how do you want to get from where you are to where you want to be? And so, that was like a big deal, that kind of blossoming, that opening of everything that's been going on, because then we were able to kind of roll from there. So those are just some initial thoughts.
Yeah. I love it. That's a great, great kind of call back or circling back. Susie, let's flip over to you. What did you notice happening as the session was taking place? Were there things that we couldn't detect that you were like discovering along the way or thinking about or pondering, do I go this way or that way, or kind of what was happening inside the Susie Lewis brain?
Well, I know that we had, obviously, you know when you're going to have a coaching session. So you kind of are thinking, yeah, like, what's a good topic? What do I want? All right. That kind of stuff. And the things that popped in were that productivity and just a little bit of the sleep too. So those were like, I would say the surface themes, but was really like, he was really, really in tune to what I was saying, to kind of listen between the lines. And even if we would have just worked on productivity and sleep, I think it would have been valuable and that would have been fine. But being able to pull back the layers, as you said, Brad, really helped me to see the deeper meaning behind what those topics were meaning to me. I loved the way that Brian, and I actually jotted this down, because he, when I was saying these are challenges, he actually reframed, he took my words and he turned it into opportunities. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did, but he was very tender with it, because there's also the fake reframing where you're like,
yeah.
Oh, you said the word problem. Tell me what the opportunity is. And then the client's sitting there going, you're an idiot. Like, seriously, are you kidding? But Brian didn't do it that way. He was super tender, super careful, mm-hmm. super loving. And it came out that way. And yes, that was exciting.
Yeah, that was neat. And I was like, yeah, it is new opportunity. So that was probably a very generative moment, I would say. And just kind of taking, I think the opportunity that is that the opportunity is to cultivate important relationships and be true to my values and honor the space where I'm personally in, instead of, you know, taking somebody else's desires and putting them above my own. So that was very helpful. I think listening in that deep way that Brian is obviously a very skilled coach and experienced, and it's always great to be coached by someone like that. And it's also great to learn from someone like that. But I think also even as a new coach, walking with someone, there's not like a right or wrong. Mm. So, you know, walking with someone, just following what their words are saying and being a good listener, you're going to find some value in there.
I want to come back to a phrase you just put out there that I think is incredibly valuable. And I'd love to get both of your thoughts on this. You mentioned something called surface themes. And we hear, you know, we've been doing this for 18 years for folks around the country. And we hear all the time folks say, you know, just knowing, it was kind of your wording, knowing the coaching session was coming created a reflection time. It created this beginning stage of me thinking, well, what is something that I could really try to move things forward with a little bit? And so you mentioned the value in that, but then, and this is what I want to dig into, then you threw those out and then the coaching started. And so, Brian, maybe from your end, because I'm sure almost 100% of the time, well, that's not true. Some people are like, I have no idea what I want to talk about. But a large percentage of the time, folks come to you and they say, here's what I want to talk about. And by the end of the call, it's something totally different. Almost always it's something totally different. Can you talk through that, Brian? And then Susie, since you're a nationally board certified coach, I'd love to get your thoughts too, not about this one specifically, but just in general, what you often see, both of you, with the surface piece and where that usually goes in the end.
I think for a lot of us, we don't often take the time to think much further than the symptoms of what's going on in our lives. Right. And so we think that the problem is that we're eating poorly, or we think that the problem is we're not exercising, or we think that the problem is that we're lazy or we're disorganized or whatever, but it's usually the result of something else that's going on. Right. It's just like going to the doctor or your nutritionist or whatever. They're going to say like, okay, these are the symptoms, but there's a problem here, right? Or there's something that needs to be dug up that we need to kind of go pursue. And what's fun about coaching is that it's the client that does the looking, right? And so they're the ones that are doing the work. And one of the things I love about the coaching process is that it helps people learn how to get to know themselves. And there's not a lot of context in our culture in which that happens for, it seems like the majority of people. Obviously I can't speak for everybody, but you know, I've been doing this now, I mean, just a handful of years, but you know, I've thousands of sessions at this point. And there's only a handful of percentage of people that have already kind of done good, reflective work and introspective work. So the reason it starts out surface level is because that's what we think the problem is. The problem is I'm not exercising, you know? And it's like, well, and then after, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes of coaching, you start to realize like, man, there's some work to do here. Or you come out on the other side and say, man, I can't wait to go for that walk now.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden now you've connected.
You cleared it out. Yeah.
we've connected the symptom with the value, or the symptom, you know, with, you know, the, or the solution with the values, or the solution with what you really are looking to accomplish. Yeah. And I would say, you know, as Susie was talking, it made me think about, you know, kind of, you know, she had mentioned generative moments, but, you know, when we teach people and mentor people in coaching the students, we try to encourage them to spend the majority of the time in that generative moment, in that time of getting people to kind of talk about change, to talk about why it's important to them, to talk about the things that they care about, to talk about their values and how these new actions might connect with those values, how it's going to get them to where they want to go, how it's going to be in line with the things that are important to them. And that's where kind of a lot of the magic happens, so that when people come out on the other side, they're like fired up to do something, you know? And so I think that, that generative moment aspect, and then also the values piece, getting down to people, what they care about, who they care about, and why their actions can line up with those values, seems to be super helpful to people.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. Susie, anything you want to add to that, either from today or just in general with your, because you're also a very experienced coach, of what you've seen in terms of the surface themes and what they end up being once you get that surface kind of kicked to the side or peeled back would be a better phrase.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, yeah, the terms, the things that Brian was saying are very, very accurate. And I think it's really easy to take what somebody initially says and really run down the track with it without finding a deeper meaning. And so I think the magic thing of coaching is helping people see the meaning. And it's just so fun to help to be in that process of discovering the meaning, you know, why this is important and why this is important right now. And I can't hold the space for that. So that is definitely, I would say, something that could be missed and overlooked. And I think one of the big gifts that we get from like our motivational interviewing training and spending such a big amount of time on those skills, because it's not natural. Mm-hmm. It's not natural to go through that process of evoking the meaning and the strengths and all of that stuff with people. Is not the normal way that people usually converse with each other. So right. I think that's one of the beauties of coaching.
Right. Right.
And Brad, can I come on the heel?
Absolutely. Real quick?
Yeah. So,
yeah, that'd be great.
Susie was just saying about how it can be tempting to kind of run with the original, you know, the original thing.
Yes.
And since I know a lot of your audience are coaches, or they're coaches, students or whatever. The thing that I've noticed is that if you get a client who is particularly kind of an achiever, they get things done, they're action oriented, they're successful in a lot of things, and they come and they're like, I need to get this. I just need to start doing this. Okay. The reality is that person does not need an action plan with you. Okay. What they need is to, you know, they need you to go through that process.
Flesh that out.
Of going deep and asking the questions about why it's important and the values and connecting all those things and getting them to talk, do the change talk, you know, do the, you know, listen for the darn, you know, things, the desires and the abilities and the reasons and the needs and all these kinds of things. And when they say that, you know, say, tell me a little bit more about that. Tell me a little bit more about that. Oh, you said that you needed to do this. Tell me a little bit more about that. Get them talking that change talk over time and spend the majority of the time there, because otherwise you'll have a 4-minute conversation where they say, okay, I just need to get back in the gym and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Brian, it's huge. That is huge, because I think, and I love what you said earlier about we rarely take the time to reflect, and that coaching session may be that one opportunity. And as a result, we change our lives. We don't change our schedule. And I just think there's so much to what you said with that. It's thank you. Let's kind of tie a ribbon on this, give each another moment or as much time as you'd like with the mic in terms of any tips to those listening. We've got a range of folks. We've got people that are like, I've never heard of coaching before. Maybe they're an employee of a company that has coaching available. They've never taken opportunity to engage in it. And they're going, well, huh, that seemed kind of cool. So there's that group. There's the folks that are experienced coaches that are looking to fine tune their skill set. And then there are the folks that are either starting or thinking about starting. Any advice for any of those three and a half groups that might be helpful? And Susie, I'll start with you. Anything that you'd like to say or encourage or remind folks in any of those groups or highlight for any of those folks?
So I think that really we summed it up with, you know, when you are staying in the process and staying present mm-hmm. with someone, that is really where it's just a gift. Mm-hmm. And so we need to just be very much in the moment with our clients and just truly putting our agenda to the side. And I think that one of the best ways to do that as a new coach or as a developing coach is through practicing. So I know that, you know, in my early coaching career, that was the piece that was so hard to get. And one of the things that I love about Catalyst is that opportunity to be able to be mentored by coaches that are experienced. And I think that that's a huge, huge gift to build that community.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Brian, any kind of final words of wisdom for any of the different groups that I threw out there?
Sure. For employees that might be listening, I mean, this is how I got into coaching. I had a...
I'd forgotten about that. That's right.
Yeah. So I worked for a park district in the Chicagoland area, and they had coaching as an employee benefit. And it was actually Catalyst Coaching 360. It used to be US Corporate Wellness. And one of my coaches, I had two coaches through that business, and they helped me with a couple of important things. Like, one was just personal productivity, organization. You know, I was in manager leadership, and I had 30 staff, and we had 8,000 members in this fitness center, and I was like, you know, just overwhelmed with the amount of papers and stuff that were on my desk, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, it would help me a ton just learn skills for personal productivity, organizational skills, which then made me way more efficient as a leader. And the other thing was like getting into like taking action, not just overthinking things and taking action. So I would say if you're an employee listening and curious about coaching, just do it if it's offered to you. And if not, ask your employer, human resources, hey, have you heard of health and wellness coaching? Reach out to Catalyst Coaching 360 and see what it's about, because it can be a game changer for leaders, managers, frontline staff. I mean, we've coached thousands of frontline folks too, who are looking to do their personal development, their professional development. Anyway, it's a great move for employers. And then for coaches, I'm with Susie 100% on the repetitions. Reps. Just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And then the second thing I would say is keep reminding yourself that the client will solve their own problem.
Ah, yes.
The client will solve their own problem. Do not take on the responsibility of trying to solve the problem. It won't be coaching. You can start a consulting business doing that, but not a coaching business.
So. I love it. That's awesome. Great way to wrap things up. You too. Really, really appreciate it. Again, I know you're on the spot. It's a different feel when you're doing it in this setting than your traditional coaching. So thank you for being willing to do this. And I know it's going to make a big difference.
Thank you so much. It's always a great honor.
Yeah, this was super fun, man. Thank you.
Thanks for spending part of your week with us. We were just notified the Catalyst 360 podcast is the number one health and wellness coaching podcast in the world. That's thanks to you and all of you who have shared the podcast with friends, family, and peers. So thank you so much. If you have any coaching-related questions, whether related to your own career or as an employer, EAP, or other wellness service provider, you know where to find us. Results at catalystcoaching360.com or you can check out the website, catalystcoaching360.com. And now it's time to be a catalyst. This is Catalyst Coaching 360, Dr. Brad Cooper. Make it a great rest of your week, and I'll speak with you soon on the next episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast, or maybe over on the YouTube coaching channel.